Romans chapter 11. Now, I told you last week, if you'll remember, I was going to cover two verses of Scripture. And I'm going to cover, I need to cover the two witnesses. I got a question on that. Remember, that's our question box. Got a question about a text or something I preach on, put it in there. If it warrants a whole message, I'll preach a whole message on everything I've got so far warrants a whole message. So that's what I'm doing. But I'm covering a couple verses now that I want you to just maybe go back and relook at and think about and worship with us with regard to it. Okay? Romans chapter 11, we want to look at verse 25 and verse 26 to see. Verses 25 and verse 26. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conscience, that blindness in part is or has happened unto Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Okay? And so, the idea of the word "so" there is in the way referred to in the previous verses. "And so all Israel shall be saved." All Israel shall be saved. Everybody see that? And he quotes a text out of the book of Isaiah. "As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. And he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now this is really a popular text of Scripture. We preached on it in the past. It's been some time that we've looked at this particular two verses. It's been a long time since we've looked at these two verses. And most go to the text and then they use this for that there's coming, that we're in the times of the Gentiles now, which that is right. We are in the times of the Gentiles now. But that says the fullness of the Gentiles. Don't get those two confused, because everybody does. There's a difference between the fullness of the Gentiles coming in and the times of the Gentiles. Everybody got that before I go any further? Well, that's one of the first mistakes folks make with regard to that. The times of the Gentiles began all the way back at Babylon. Remember the image in Daniel chapter 2? The image with the head of gold, silver, brass, and all that, all down through till you get the legs of iron. And then iron and clay. Remember the image in Daniel chapter 2? You can read about that. And that image pictured the Gentile nations. And just about anybody will tell you that's what it pictures. It pictures the Gentile nations. The only time you'll ever have any trouble, though, is when you come down to the 10 toes. Remember I mentioned that last week? When you get down to those 10 toes, they say that's not happened yet. They pull it off the statue and throw it out in the tribulation. There's no reason to do that, because the text should run one right after the other. It was 10 Germanic tribes that conquered the Roman Empire. Well, we're still in that time. We're in the times of the Gentiles. We will be in the times of the Gentiles till the kingdom. Remember in Daniel 2, it pictures a rock comes and it smashes this kingdom and sets up a kingdom that lasts forever. That's our kingdom. That rock pictures King Jesus, and it smashes that image and he sets up a kingdom that lasts forever. Well, we're in the times of the Gentiles. We will be in the times of the Gentiles till King Jesus comes. Okay? So, but this says the fullness of the Gentiles. And I think it's referring to salvation of Gentiles, and we'll talk a little bit. So I want to point that out right off the bat. So it's taught that what has happened is Israel's in blindness today. The natural Jew is in blindness today. And they will continue to be that way. And now God's saving Gentiles. And he's saving Gentiles up. And there's going to be this point where he's going to go from the Gentile back to the Jew. And most people think that. And most people use this text for that. Okay? Well, we're going to look at it. Does that sound good? And all I ask you to do is look at it and give this a good listen. I'm going to give you a 4-point outline. Here's what it is. You write this down. Number one, we're going to look at the mystery first. There's mentions of mystery there. We'll look at the mystery. Number two, we're going to look at the blindness. We'll look at the blindness. And number three, we're going to look at the fullness. Fullness. And we'll ask you, when did the fullness of the Gentile... Answer this to yourself before I go any further. When did the fullness of the Gentile come in? That's the third thing. You want to think about that for a while. When did the fullness of the Gentile come in? And number four, we want to talk about the salvation, because it does say that all Israel shall be saved. Okay, in the text. All right? Now, let's look at the mystery first of all. And all the boys has done made fun of my artistic work. But I don't care. Now, in Romans chapter 11, it talks about the mystery. I'll put that up here in a minute. Now, it says in verse, let's go ahead and look at this again in verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery. Now, what a mystery was, is a teaching. It's a teaching that really was covered up. Not really covered up, but really not known and not revealed until the New Testament made this teaching clear. It was a mystery before, but then the teaching of the New Testament made this Bible teaching more clearly known. Is everybody with me? Well, I think the mystery that he's talking about is what is referred to in the previous verses. Verses 17, verse 24, he shares something with us that is outstanding for us as Gentiles and also outstanding for the Jew. Let's look at it. It says, and some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them, and you partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Everybody say olive tree. So this text is, he's using an illustration of a what? An illustration of an olive tree. Okay? Now, it says that in verse 17, it talks about some branches that were broken off of this olive tree. Everybody see that? Now, who this olive tree is, as you will see from the context, this olive tree is Israel. And I know this is probably the most hideous tree that you've ever seen in your life, but that's all right. It'll make my point. And that's all I care to make. Isn't that beautiful tree? That's why I'm a preacher, not an artist. In this Romans 11, this olive tree is Israel. Everybody got that straight? And you know just about anybody will tell you that. About any preacher you want to listen to will tell you that that olive tree is Israel. They will. I mean, I don't know of any that don't, really, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that don't, but there is. All right. Now, you have some of these branches that are broken off. That's not snakes there. That's branches. And they're broken off, and then you have all the branches added to this tree. Now, let's talk about the branches. Everybody know who the tree is? The olive tree is Israel. Now, let's go ahead and look on. Verse 18 says, boast not thyself against the branches. But if you boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wouldst say, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were... Now, everybody see that? Because of unbelief, they were broken off. Now, who is it talking about, because of unbelief, they were broken off? It's the unbelieving Jew. What's the name of this olive tree again? And because of unbelief, they're broken out of the tree. Okay? Let me ask you a question before I go any further. What if they trust in Jesus as the Messiah? They're put back in. And they're part of Israel. Now, we are, of course, if not Jew by physical birth, it says in the text that we have been grafted in. And what's the name of that tree again? It's called Israel. So we've been made a part of Israel. The believing Jew is also made a part of Israel. You know, the Apostle Paul, was he a believer? And he was a Jew, wasn't he? He was a part of this tree. And other today, there's many Jewish believers. Men that's trusted the Messiah. They're a part of this tree. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're a part of this tree, this olive tree, this nation of Israel. You're a part of it. But an unbelieving Jew, or anybody, they don't have no part in it. Everybody see that? All right. So, the unbelieving are broken off. Verse 22. Verse 21. But if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he not spare thee. Behold the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, toward thee goodness, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. Who's that talking about? The Jew. You're going to graft them in. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these which be natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? All right, so in this olive tree that is called Israel, the Gentile, according to that text, and of course, about anybody to tell you that too, the Gentiles, which is us, We're not Jews by physical birth. We're Gentiles. When you have trusted the Messiah as your Savior, you were grafted into this tree. And you know, that tree is called Israel. That means He made you part of Israel under the new covenant. Okay? The believing Jew, he's in the tree too. He's in the tree too. So that fits a lot of scriptures. You see, all this is an illustration that Paul gave you in Romans chapter 11. He'd been saying it for a while. He just drawed you a picture of it. Look at Romans chapter 2. Let me show it to you now. I'm going to show it to you. Show you a couple things here. You follow along and then you look at these things. We're looking at the mystery. What is the mystery? That the Jew and the Gentile would all be part of the same nation. That was a mystery. And he made that thing clear, that teaching clear in the New Testament. Made it crystal clear in the New Testament. That the Jew and the Gentile would be part of the same nation. Okay, now he said that several times in Romans. But notice Romans chapter 2. Verse 29. I've just read this when we looked at the 144,000. My question to you is, what is a Jew? What is a Jew? And my question is also to you, who is Israel in the eyes of God? And you have to answer that for yourself. Well, the definition to that would have to be the Scriptures, wouldn't it? Well, who does the Scripture say the Jew is? Well, look at Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Verse 28. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. In other words, just because you was born a Jew in the flesh doesn't mean you're a part of this nation here. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but neither is the circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one where at? Right here. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. So, according to Romans 2, who's a true Jew? A true Jew is one that's trusted the Messiah, regardless of their physical birth. Regardless of their physical birth. If you're here tonight, and you've trusted the Messiah of Jesus, you've been grafted in this olive tree of Israel. And you're considered a Jew in the eyes of God. Did you realize that? Jesus taught it too. He said, no, he did. Yes, he did in Matthew 8. He said, there will be many come. There will be many come from the east and the west and the north and the south. And they're going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Made them part of the same nation. What it says. True Jew. Now, that don't make a whole lot of sense when you read Romans 2 until you look at Romans 11 and he illustrates it for you. See, that's a true Jew. True Jews is someone, a true Jew is someone that's in Israel. And the only people in this olive tree, I'm going to tell you right now tonight, the only people in this olive tree is those who by faith have accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You can be a Jew by physical birth. If you've rejected the Messiah, you're a broken branch. You're not a part of Israel. And will not be until you trust the Messiah. All God's people said. Well, that's the mystery, Tim. That was the mystery. And you know he mentioned that in the book of Ephesians too. Let me show you that. Ephesians chapter 3. He even calls it a mystery there. Ephesians chapter 3. You turn there. Jew and the Gentile will be one. The Jew and the Gentile will be one. Under the new covenant, the Jew and the Gentile are one. We're part of the same nation. What nation is that? Part of the same olive tree. That wasn't true under the old covenant. You know, if you look at a scale model of the old temple, they had about a 3-foot wall there. And you know, if you was a Gentile, you could just go to that. You was only permitted to go in so far. As a matter of fact, Paul got in trouble because they thought that Paul brought a Gentile past that area. There was a wall there. There was a separation between the Gentile and the Jew under the old covenant. But folks, that's not true under the new. And that was a mystery. And that's what he revealed in the book of Romans. The true Jew is one that has a circumcised heart and has trusted the Messiah. If you're here tonight and saved, here's the truth. Then you're a Jew spiritually. You've had a new birth, and you're a part of His nation. And that nation's called Israel. You're a part of it. Okay? Let me show you some of these things. Now, I'm trying not to get loud. I love this right here. Blesses me. Visions chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 4. I wished I'd get the verse right the first time. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He calls this a mystery. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but now is revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. What is that mystery? Look at verse 6. He tells you what the mystery is. What is that mystery, folks? Read it in verse 6. What does it say? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs of the same body. Partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Fellow heirs. Well, it called the Gentile believer a fellow heir in verse 6. Well, looking on down into chapter 2, or look back into chapter 2. Notice what it says here. Verse 19 of Ephesians 2. I'm going to ask you a question. When I read this verse, I'm going to ask you a question. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you're no more a stranger and a foreigner, but you're a what? A fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being a chief cornerstone. It says you're a fellow heir, and now it says you're a fellow citizen. You know, all of us, I suppose all of us being born here in America, we're fellow citizens of the United States, aren't we? But you know something tonight? If you're here tonight and saved, we're fellow citizens of Israel too. He made you a part. You didn't deserve to be a part of it. Neither did I. No one does. But folks, He grafted us in. That wasn't true under the old covenant. There was a separation. Oh, would you look with me? Look at Ephesians 2. Let me show you now. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians 2. In time past, ye were without Christ. What does that mean? Without a Messiah. In the Old Testament, the Jew looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, but that wasn't the Gentile hope. So the Gentile basically was without a Messiah. That wasn't something the Gentiles looked forward to. It was a Jewish hope. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In that sad state, that's what the Gentile was. Verse 12 is what the Gentile was under the old covenant. There wasn't a lot of Gentiles saved under the old covenant. Very few. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Verse 13 now. But now. Oh, thank God for the but now. Things are different now. What covenant are we under now, Denver? We're under the new covenant. We're under the new covenant. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. Now watch this in verse 14. Watch this, Tim. Watch this real quick. For He is our peace who hath made both one. All right, now I'm going to read the rest of that. If I forget to read the rest of it, tell me. He made us both one. How did He do that? We're part of the same nation. See, that's the mystery. He's made us both one. Part of the same nation. Fellow citizens, fellow heirs. All of that. See? Fellow citizens, fellow heirs, all of those things. He's made us both one. Now look at verse 14. And He broke down that middle wall. Remember we talked about that wall a little while ago? Well, we could only go so far. It kept us separate from the Jew. He broke that down under the new covenant. And He brought us in, folks, and He's made us a part. All God's people said. Not second-class citizens. Full citizens in Israel, God. Both Gentile as well as Jew. Isn't that awesome? That's what He is. That's the mystery of Romans chapter 11. That's what He's describing to you in that particular text. Now let's go back to Romans 11. Everybody understand the mystery that we'll be made one? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, you stay in Romans 11. I need to get there too. John, chapter 10. He made the statement about the Gentile that there's going to come a day when he said, other sheep, remember? Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. You know, one time there was a Jewish fold and a Gentile fold. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they're not Jews. It's talking about us. Them also I must bring. And there shall be one fold, one shepherd. There's not two olive trees, there's one. Not two olive trees, there's one. If you're saved, you're a part of it. And the name of that olive tree is Israel, under the new covenant. That's why it says you're a true... That's why it defines who the true Jew is. And why it tells you that the children of Abraham are all those that be of faith. Are the children of Abraham. Okay? All right, now back to Romans 11. Let's talk about the blindness. Talk about the blindness. We talked about the mystery. We know what that is. That was a mystery. But the New Testament revealed it. It told you about it in many texts of Scripture, especially the epistles of Paul. But then he draws you a picture of it for us to look at in Romans chapter 11. He grafted us in that olive tree. See? Okay. Now it says that that's the mystery. Now let's look at that. Let's break it on down. It says, lest ye should be wise in your own conscience, that blindness in part is. Now, the idea of the word is carries the idea of the word has. Blindness is, or has, happened to Israel. Okay? Blindness has happened unto Israel, is the idea of the text. Now, what in the world is that talking about? And I hear that all the time. That, well, you know, the Jews is in blindness. They've been in blindness. Isaiah chapter 29, if you would turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 29. They've been in blindness, according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 29. Notice what the Lord said about back in 750 B.C., whenever the book of Isaiah was written. It says, for the Lord, verse 10, hath poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. So they were in blindness in the Old Testament too. Isaiah 29 says that they were. Look at Deuteronomy, said that they didn't have a circumcised heart. They've been in blindness. But it says blindness in part has happened to Israel. Well, how are we going to explain that? Well, how was the Old Testament, how was the Old Covenant different than the New Covenant? Let me show you. I want you to watch this. In the Old Testament, I should have drawn another tree, but I'll fight that feeling. But in the Old Testament, if you have a tree, and you call that tree Israel, in the Old Testament, to be a part of Israel, you know all you had to do? Had to be Jew, born and circumcised if he's a male. That's all you had to do. So under the Old Testament, in that tree, if I draw the tree for you, you had some Jews that were saved, and you had some Jews that were blinded, that were not saved, but just being born into Israel. Under the Old Covenant, just being born into the nation made you a part of the nation. So that means that the tree in the Old Testament had partly people that were saved in it and partly people that were lost. And you know that was true all the way up until the New Covenant. Then what happened to the unbelieving under the New Covenant? They were broken off. And Israel wasn't in partial blindness no more. As a matter of fact, under the New Covenant, since only believers is in the nation, all Israel is saved. That's a whole lot better than the Old Covenant, because in the Old Covenant, if you read the Old Testament Scriptures, all Israel wasn't saved. There's unbelievers in Israel. There was times when God brought great judgment several times on the nation because it was filled with unbelievers. You couldn't say all Israel was saved in the Old Testament. Many unbelievers, even the generation that come up out of Egypt, many of them were lost. So Israel under the Old Covenant was in partial blindness. And that was true all the way up until the New Covenant was put into effect. And when the New Covenant was put into effect, Israel, the olive tree, the only one in that tree is believers. All the unbelieving's been broken off. Does everybody see that? So that's how it's different. When it says blindness in part has happened, that points you back to the Old Covenant. That's the way it used to be. Israel was partly saved and many of them was lost, but that's not true under the New. Under the New, all of it saved. All of Israel saved under the New. Isn't that wonderful? He's broke off all the unbelieving. Now, when did this happen? You know, he said he broke off these unbelieving branches. When did he do that? That's my first question. When did the Lord do that? When did the Lord break off these unbelieving branches? When did he take Israel and just start grafting in the Gentile and start... When was it that all Israel was saved? When did all that start? Well, I'd have to ask you the question, when did the New Covenant start? Well, the New Covenant started in, let's go back to the book of Romans chapter 11. When did the New Covenant start? Well, this brings us to our third point. Blindness in part happened to Israel. So is that what he said? That's a description of Israel under the Old Covenant. Blindness in part happened to Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentile came in. When did the fullness of the Gentile come in? When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and He ratified the New Covenant with His own blood. That's when He fulfilled everything. The New Covenant began. You remember what Jesus said at the Last Supper? When He instituted the Lord's Supper, He said, "This is the blood of the New Covenant." Now, was that literally His blood? No, it was a picture of it. He was telling them something that He was about to do. "This is the blood of the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins." You could say it was shed for all of Israel. It was shed for all of Israel. And you know what? Jesus went to the cross that next day, and in 6 hours, He confirmed the covenant. And when He died on the cross, all that the Old Testament, you know what they do in the Old Testament? They offered animal sacrifice. Remember, they offered all these lambs and sheep and goats and all these different things. All those pointed forward to somebody. All of it. The whole Old Testament looked forward to somebody. Do you know who it was looking forward to? Yes. Folks, it wasn't possible that the blood of a bull and a goat could take away sin. It looked forward to the coming Messiah. And folks, when King Jesus went to the cross, He ushered in and brought in the effect of the New Covenant by shedding His blood on Calvary's cross. The old covenant was fulfilled. And the New Covenant's much better. You know why it's much better? Everybody in Israel saved under the old covenant. And folks, that's when the fullness of the Gentile come in. You say, well, it didn't come in at the cross. Boy, it did. It sure did, too. It sure did. You know, when Jesus was here on earth for 3.5 years, you know He never went outside of Israel. He never went outside of it. As a matter of fact, when He sent the 70 out, you remember what He said? He said, "You go just to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel." And then after Jesus died, Timmy, and He resurrected the third day, and He spent, 40 days here on the earth, and then He went to the Mount of Olives, and He looked at these men that He trained. It was the first church, by the way. It became known as the Church of Jerusalem. The pillar and ground of the truth. It would spread His ordinance, that would practice His ordinance, spread His gospel, and teach His people. You remember what He told them? "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." So He brought in the New Covenant. He brought in the New Covenant the moment He died. And the moment He brought in the new covenant, all those broken branches were broken off. And the only one in Israel under the new covenant is those that have trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, you've just done away with Israel. I haven't. Replacement theology? No, it didn't do away with Israel. It just made Israel bigger. The book of Isaiah said, thou hast increased the nation to reach unto all corners of the earth. He has. It's all He's done. Folks, He's still saving Jews. One of the biggest problems today for a lot of churches is they say, well, they're in blindness. Won't come a day when the Lord's going to save them. He's saving them now. You need to get the gospel to them now. For crying out loud, before you were saved, you was in darkness. He's the one that opened your eyes, made you alive, and brought you to Him. He can do the same thing to the Jew. So blindness in part happened to Israel until when? Until fullness of the Gentiles. Now, I didn't say the times of the Gentiles. That's where it gets messed up. It says the fullness of the Gentile come in. The fullness of the Gentile came in when Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood. That's when the new covenant was ratified. That's when Israel changed. Didn't really change, but it increased with the Gentile. And only saved people are part of Israel today. Let me say that one more time. Only saved people are part of Israel today. All right, that brings us to our fourth point. Are you following me? Now, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to. You just go check it out. It ain't going to keep you out of heaven. Sure does blesses me. I like to preach on it. But I think it sure is true. We looked at the mystery. We looked at the mystery. We talked about the blindness. And then we talked about the fullness of the Gentile. We know what those things are now. Well, let's go ahead and look at verse 26. And so, all Israel shall be saved. Now, I looked up the word so in Strong's dictionary, the word so. It means in the same way, or in this way referred to in the previous verses, is basically the idea of what we're talking about. So all Israel should be saved. All right, let's look at that. Watch this, Harlan. If everybody, now according to the text, the unbelieving were broken off, wasn't they? And the only ones in this olive tree of Israel are those who stand by faith. That's what it says. The Gentile stands by faith. He says he's able to graft the Jew back in if they believe. They stand by faith. So you know what that means about Israel under the new covenant? All Israel is saved. That's why it's better than the old. Because it was, they were in partial blindness under the old covenant. Well, turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verses 31 through 34, probably be the last verse we read. I'll start winding down and stop. Give you something to think about. Jeremiah 31 prophecy is a prophecy about the new covenant. The new covenant went into effect when Jesus died on the cross. He said it is finished and He fulfilled all at the Old Testament sacrifices. I must say this. Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices. We don't have a temple today. The church is called a temple in the new covenant. You know why Jesus established a new institution of worship? You know why He said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'm going to build my church? You know why He said that? He established a new place of worship because the temple worship was fulfilled the moment He died on the cross. Why would we get excited? I have people come up to me, you know, they're getting ready to build a temple over in Jerusalem. Not to be disrespectful. Why should I care if people, I mean, why would I get excited over that? You start offering sheep and things, that wouldn't please the Lord. Jesus was the fulfillment. The Lamb of God was Jesus. That's why He allowed it to be destroyed in the 70 AD. I don't get excited over a rebuilt temple. I hear Baptists do that all the time. They're getting ready to build the temple in Jerusalem. Well, what would you do there? Offer sheep? That would be blasphemous to our God. Because the offering has already been made. All of that's already been fulfilled. Why would we get excited over such a thing as that? The church is the New Testament temple. This is the house of God. This is the house of God. It wouldn't be a place where they offered animal sacrifice and had priests. We are the priests of God. Well, I'm on this. We're the priests. The Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the Passover. We look back and it's done been offered. He didn't continue on with the Passover because Jesus was the Passover. When you come and take the Lord's Supper, I don't have a sheep laying up here. I have bread that pictured His body. Why don't He have us offering sheep no more? Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. He died. He fulfilled it. It would be blasphemous to offer sheep here again. You build an altar on that parking lot and start offering sheep, that would be blasphemous to the Lord. Whether you do it in Bancroft or in Jerusalem, that would still be blasphemous to the Lord. Sorry, but this is the house of God. Why would we get excited over a rebuilt temple? I just, for the life of me, can't fathom that. And even if they do construct it, it wouldn't be God's house. It would not be God's house. This is God's house. All right, Jeremiah 31. Now that I got that on my system. 31. Behold, the days come that I will make, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, when I'm getting ready to read down there, you'll remember because this is written in the book of Hebrews. Because this is the same covenant that we're under. Are we under the new covenant? And He made that covenant with the house of what it says. Now here, listen to it now. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out by the hand out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They broke that old covenant, didn't they, many times. They didn't last till, I mean, they broke it many times. Although I was a husband unto them. Was there a lot of Gentiles saved under the old covenant? No, very few. Gentiles is on the outside. It's not true under the new. Notice what else it said. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of it. With who? This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law in their. I'll put my law in their inward parts, and I'll write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my what? Under the new covenant, He didn't put His law on a table of stone. You know where He puts His law at in the new covenant? That's why when someone truly trusts Jesus, they're changed. I don't seek to keep the Lord's laws because I'm trying to be saved. I want to try to live a life that pleases Him because I love Him, see? He does that to every new covenant Jew. He writes these laws on your heart. That's why when someone's truly born again, you see a change in their life. But He just didn't. He writes these laws on your heart. In other words, it produces in you the desire to one who follow and obey the Lord. That's the way the new covenant Jew is. Watch this now. You probably help us understand it a little bit better. I will put my law in their heart, in their inward parts. I'll write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. What covenant is this in Jeremiah 31? New covenant. What does it say that they will do under the new covenant? They are all going to know me. It wasn't true under the old covenant. They all didn't know Him under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, they all know Him because all the unbelieving are broken off. All God's people say it. See, Jeremiah 31 goes with Romans 11. They're all going to know me under the new covenant. So they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Folks, that's the same covenant that we're under. Same covenant. He put His laws, Denver, on the heart the day that He saved you. He grafted you right into that olive tree. He made you fellow citizens with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. That's your country. That's yours. You're a fellow citizen. You're a fellow heir. Jeff, you left the Jew out. No, I haven't. He's still saving Jews. I'm not going to take the time to do this, but I'm not done yet. Don't get excited. We'll tell you something. Here's what, you go back in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the prophets. He promised, made some great promises to Israel as a nation. You want me to share with you what some of them are? He promised Israel an everlasting kingdom under the reign of a perfect king. He promised them a perfect land. Did He not? And He promised that they would be a perfect people. You know when that will be fulfilled? When King Jesus comes and He gathers together in one all of His people, which are heaven and are upon this earth. And then and only then will we be under the reign of King Jesus. Of course, we're under His reign now. He's reigning from heaven. But there'll be a day when He destroys the nations of this earth. Remember the kingdom of the rock. And King Jesus is going to set up a kingdom that will last forever. And that's our kingdom. Oh, by the way, what's the name of that kingdom? It's called Israel. And He made you a part. Well, that's the way I see it. Then that's all right if you don't. You just study it and see. I'll close with your outline. The mystery, the blindness. That's how it was under the old covenant. Jeremiah 31 said under the new covenant they would all know Him. We understand that from Romans 11. That's the fullness. It happened when the Gentiles' fullness came in. That was at the institution of the new covenant at the cross. So all Israel shall be saved. That's because all the unbelieving are broken out and only saved are a part of Israel. That's how I see it. If you see it different, that's fine. That's not going to keep none of us out of heaven. Aren't you glad? Just got to trust the blood. Whether you agree with that view of Romans 11 or not, that's fine. But I want to tell you one thing. It's still true that the Gentiles' part is a spiritual Jew. Still true. Could the Lord save a great host of Jews? He sure can. He sure can. And He just might. The Lord can save who He wants. But I'll tell you one thing Gentiles need to do. The purpose of saving the Gentile was to provoke the Jew to jealousy. And as the Gentiles that have been saved, we're to seek the salvation of the Jew. And as the Lord saves the Jew, buddy, when a Jew is saved, and they see the blessing, oh, isn't that a blessing to the Gentile believer to see a Jew saved? And then they seek the salvation of the Jew and Gentile with us both. The fullness is a blessing to us too. Let's all stand. All right. Boy, that was a tough one.